I would like to think I'm a little bit more trusting because I've had the benefit of like a life where a giant lightning monster hasn't tried to attack me in my apartment.
What's up, folks? I'm Kara Mahorn, aka The Blurred Girl, and welcome back to The Blurred Girl Podcast. Now, last episode, I spoke to actor Josiah Young, who plays Dion on the Netflix series Raising Dion, a story about a little black boy with superpowers. But his mom, Nicole, is played by actress Alicia Wainwright. So I'm starting Women's History Month off right. I'm talking to a superhero's mom. This was really a fun interview, and I can't wait to give you the details on our discussion. But first, let's pay some bills.
There's something weird going on with influencers right now. I'm a little freaked out. They just get everything they want. Everything's a little too perfect. Their smiles are a little too straight. They're using filters I can't find anywhere. I know what I'm about to say might sound a little unhinged, but I think it might be witchcraft. At least, that's what Jenna Clayton thought right before she went missing. We're excited to introduce a new show from Realm, If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It, starring Oscar-nominated actress Gabourey Sidibe. When a black writer goes missing, a white podcast host with a savior complex takes up the cause of finding her and collides with a coven of influencers she suspects are responsible. This show is a little bit of The Craft meets Mean Girls meets Get Out. Learn more about If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It at realm.fm and be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, before I forget, be sure to subscribe to the Blurred Girl podcast on your favorite podcatcher. And if you can, please leave me a nice comment over on iTunes. And if you're feeling really generous, screenshot this episode and tag me over on Instagram stories because I love to interact with listeners that way. Also, Marvel has formally announced that my first book, the YA novel Protectors of Wakanda, a history and training manual of the Dora Milaje, is available for pre-order. I'm so excited that Marvel asked me to write this book and let me create an origin story for the Dora Milaje. The book drops September 13th, so click the link in the show notes and you can pre-order from your favorite bookseller. And be sure to check out the list of black bookstores that I included so that you can support them as well. Now, you may recognize Alicia Wainwright from her role as Maya Roberts on Shadowhunters on Freeform. But in Netflix's Raising Dion, she is literally raising a superhero and trying to navigate the world as a widowed single mother. Now, in this conversation, I talked to Alicia about how her character really was put through the ringer in season two, how she deserves her own superpowers, and how the show almost had a different ending. Up next, my interview with Alicia Wainwright. Actually, we've done this before. It was ages ago, like before the pandemic, about 50 years ago. You came up to 30 Rock to record a podcast for Sci-Fi Wire with Jason, and that was me.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You know, just yesterday a friend of mine was like, remember that party, my like, you know, birthday part, my 30th birthday party? And I was like, no. She's like, really? Like, you helped organize it? And I was like, I actually, if it happened before 2020, it's, and but like after 2018, but before 2020, like that 2 years before the pandemic, I actually just don't remember anything.
Exactly. It's all a blur. And I'm like, I am not responsible.
It's a struggle. It's a struggle. But I feel younger in some ways because I lost years from my life. So I look at it as a positive.
Yeah, they're like leap years. We haven't aged in 3 years. We're the same age we were summer of 2018. What?
Yes, I don't understand. I don't understand why you're confused.
So I really need to ask you whether or not, because you play Nicole Warren, the mother of Dion in Raising Dion, and the widow, sort of Michael B. Jordan's character, Mark, Dion's dad. And I thought you went through it in season one, but does Bayona have like mental health care in their plan? Because
it seems like very much like a biotech savvy company. I'm sure they have like a happiness coordinator and a mental health coordinator, but I'm not on their payroll. So Nicole doesn't get boo, but right. Yeah.
She's a contractor.
Yeah, right.
So I really was fascinated by your character's arc. Season one was the origin story, basically, for Dion's powers. How did you get that concept of this, not just struggling mom, but this woman that has such a unique perspective with such a special child?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think most of the time what's on the page kind of guides my point of view. So thankfully, the show was written in a way where the first time I read the first episode, it was just so clear to me. And I find that, you know, as an actor, not often, but, you know, sometimes I'll read something and immediately see myself in the script. Mm-hmm. And how I would do it and kind of my point of view. So I had that spark with this show. And so initially I just kind of chose to play Nicole from a point of view that I felt like I understood about single mothers that I had known throughout my life. But then not only that, but talking to the showrunner, Carol Barbie, and her, who is a mother, and kind of her point of view really helped me create the framework of how I was going to approach the character. And then as the years have gone on, like, what's really made me feel great was how many parents could relate to her struggle and the sort of like fine line you have to walk between letting your kid have some autonomy while still creating boundaries and structure for them so that they're not just like doing whatever the heck they want, you know? And I think like Nicole's knee jerk is to always smother him and like protect him, but really just shield him from the world. And I think she's realizing like, no, my kid is this larger than life child who has all of these special abilities to help the world. Maybe I raised him well enough that he can do some of this on his own without having such a, you know, like a shield. And I think she learned that in season one. And then when you see her in season two, she's like, not super happy about him going out and keeping the neighborhood safe and stuff, but she's also letting it happen, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think like that sort of like gray area is where she's living, but they push the envelope even further because now she has to contend with the idea that like she might not be able to be around as long as she wants to be, you know?
Now, she also has a little bit of help this season. I don't know if you would call her sister help, because he's driving her crazy, but that's what siblings do. But I'm also thinking of Tevin, who mm-hmm. we were all surprised by, because I was like, no, they're bringing Michael B. Jordan back. He's got to come back. It's his show. And then they yeah. were like, Tevin. And we were like, hold up. Let's see who Tevin is. So how does Tevin help both Dion and Nicole this season?
You know, I think when I first heard about the kind of storyline for Nicole in season two, I was excited about like a romantic interest and I appreciated how they kind of wove it in by making him a Biona employee. So he's not, you know, another regular person, like sort of the people that she was, you know, getting close with during season one. And so it created this thing where it's like Dion has a curiosity and a fixation on him because he's a healthy mentor. You know, I think Pat was very much not a healthy mentor and was actually like instilling some really bad ideas into Dion. And like Tevin is so much of like a good listener and just kind of like positive and open and willing to help. And I think it helps Dion because it allows him to just like have someone that he can talk to that's not his mom. And then it helps Nicole because she can see like, oh, this is a real benefit to my kid. And also he's ridiculously good looking and he likes me. So I'd be stupid if I just let this walk away from me, you know? And I think like by the end of the season, you know, they went through kind of hell and back together, but he's just such a good person and he's not perfect, you know, and he's willing to talk about the things that he struggles with. And I think like, you know, all that together, he's just such a great person. I mean, I think any parent could hope to have a version of a Tevin in their kid's life, you know?
I think all of us want any kind of Tevin in our lives, but yes.
You'll I'll take Tevin as a neighbor.
Exactly.
I'll take Tevin as,
I'll take Tevin as the mailman. Like, I'm really not.
Yeah, it's fine. Just brief interactions, it's enough. As long as he's somewhere around me, we're great.
We're fine. We all thought Crooked Man was vanquished in season one, along with Pat, but then... Enter season two. Nicole did not have the reaction I thought she would have when she finds out that Pat is still alive and in the vicinity.
I had a lot of conversations with the showrunner to try and like kind of understand her point of view. But what I ultimately chose to like, how I chose to approach it was the level of confidence that she's gained over these last 2 years makes her feel like she has real control over everything. And she's like, creating her own destiny. And like, I wanted to play Nicole as like, she had like a bit of not ego, but she just like thought that she was a little bit untouchable. And so even Pat coming back, like, well, he has no powers. He's in this cage. Like, I don't care. But then like, where did this other threat go? And like, what are all these things happening? Maybe he could be a resource. I mean, Nicole is just out here always using Pat however she can, like, you know, whether it's watch my kid or, you know, help me solve this problem. Like, I think that's kind of the way I chose to play it. But yeah, when I read it too, I was like, dang, like, how is she letting this guy breathe? You know, because I think a part of me wanted to like, just go in there and kind of take care of Pat. But, you know, we can't do that to Jason Ritter because he's an integral part of the show.
But love it.
I was like, are you sure we can't just work in just like a little bit where she just kind of like puts a sleeper on him?
That actually brings up a very good point. How much of Nicole is Alicia and how much of Alicia is Nicole? Like, do you think you've related more to her season one than you do for season two?
No. Season one, I'm like, no. Like, I'm much more type A. I love a plan. I like, I'm pretty organized. I like to think I'm like good with money and good with my career. Like Nicole is kind of all over the place. And, but maybe in college we were kind of the same, you know, but like, I think we approach life very differently. But, you know, I think it would be insane to think that there isn't an effusion. Is that a word? I don't infuse a little bit of myself into Nicole because, you know, this is a fairly naturalistic show. And like, you know, it's like, it's hard not to be a little bit of myself in my mannerisms sometimes. But like, Nicole and I are very different people. And like, I would like to think I'm a little bit more trusting because I've had the benefit of like a life where a giant lightning monster hasn't tried to attack me in my apartment. So, you know, I just think like life has created a lot of pain and adversity for Nicole. And she's just constantly reacting in a way that like, she's just trying to self-preserve. I mean, her husband died and all of this stuff. So it's like, yeah, I would say Nicole and Alicia are very different.
Your character, I should say, played, you know, was really, like you said, on the sidelines, kind of reacting a lot first season. This season, when she's exposed to the spores, she's kind of in on the action. And, you know, is looking at her mortality. And you and Josiah, who plays Dion, had a really emotional scene when he thought she was going to not make it. What was that like when you read the script? Were you like, ah, damn, I'm out of a job?
Well, when I first read it, I mean, I'll give you like some insider. Season two was actually a little bit of something else.
Oh.
And so when I read that, I was like, oh, dang, that sucks. And then Netflix, I think for whatever reason, was like, we're not going to do them like that. Like, let's like rework it. So they kind of like pulled out the storyline a little bit so that you can watch Nicole go through this process. I was like, contractually y'all are stuck with me, so I know I'm not going anywhere. But also like, you know, it was scary because I'm so vain. Two things. One, when it was scripted, the the spores on my hands actually went all the way up my neck onto my face. And I was like, oh man, you're going to do me like that. Like I'm going to have to be in hair and makeup forever. And I'm going to have this weird, crazy thing on my face. But then they were like, we can't do her like that. So then they ended up being on my arm. Cause they also wanted to, they realized when they, if you're going to put that kind of stuff on my face, that's something that Dion's going to see.
Yes.
And I think when you wrote,
it would freak him out.
So I think the thing was like, okay, how can we do this and keep that story without freaking out at literally everyone, you know, it's like, so it's like a sunburn, you know, but it's, you know, or whatever. But, and then the second thing is like, you know, it's kind of hard to watch your character just suffer, you know, and like suffer. So I try to approach it like she's suffering because she inserted herself into the situation. Like if she didn't go there, if she didn't choose to like be this very proactive person and think she can do anything, she wouldn't be in the situation where she's dying. And so, you know, she even has a line where when I talked to Carol, I asked if we can add a line in where she's like, you know, I did this basically. And so now it's my own fault, but I can't raise my kid. And so it kind of hurts to watch this character and like watch their hopes and dreams like get dashed. Mm-hmm. But you know, at the end, obviously everything works out and there's like a lot of lessons learned through that. So I'm hoping with season three, like we really lock in, like, you know, a knock on wood season three, but we could lock in like Nicole has really learned the value of like trust and openness and faith, you know, in her kid and in herself.
Or the spores gave her latent superpowers.
You're so fun.
And there was season three, she gets to like lift cars and things.
This was during season one, I want to say. There was an iteration, I don't know at what point, but way before I got involved, where like at the end of season one. So like it was woven in, like Nicole thinks that she might have power. So she keeps trying to like move a cup or something. And then at the end of the season, she does. And it's like, oh no, that's crazy. And I was like, wait, but we're not going to do that. Like, can we go and revisit that story? I want to have powers too. But I think it makes sense that she does it, you know, because it creates the dynamic with her and her son.
You know what? But everybody's got a suit in this show, Jason included. So yeah. We need to get you fitted for a proper suit for end of season three.
Yeah.
And speaking of powers, if you could pick a single superpower, what would it be?
I mean, I think my super, it's like I'm weaving in like Aladdin. I think my superpower would be like to have three wishes, but like not like the leprechaun, you know, like where like they, your wishes have just like immediate adverse reactions. Mm-hmm. Like, and I would love to like go through life knowing that I had these three. And, you know, whenever I saw an opportunity to like make a situation better, I could. So I haven't said that one. I feel like I've said all kinds of crazy stuff through the years of people asking this question. So I want a lamp. I want a lamp with three wishes. That's my superpower. I want to be the genie.
That's awesome. I think Josiah had mine. The power to bamf, basically like Dion, to just leave. Cause that's my ultimate superpower, like uncomfortable situations, people not wearing masks, whatever, I get to leave.
Oh my gosh. So yesterday I went to my girlfriend's movie premiere and it was super cool. They had, you know, cause of COVID, it was actually a drive-in movie theater. And then afterward they had this like outdoor thing. And when I was out there, I bumped into a person that I hadn't seen in many, many years. And it was so great. But very brief. It was just like, hey, it's nice seeing you. I see you. Okay. And then like, they stuck around and I was like, oh no, like, I don't know how to like, how do you exit this social situation when I have like, literally I haven't socialized with people forever. I don't know how to continue to small talk. I want this to end. And so I do wish that I had a little bit of your BAMF in that, because I would have just like, because I don't have the stamina anymore to think on my feet.
Yeah, no, I don't. I kind of like exit almost like comedy. I'm like, all right, I gotta go. I'm bad. One of my last questions is, what was more difficult, working on a set with a bunch of kids or working on a set with a bunch of kids during a pandemic?
Working on a set with a bunch of kids. Because when you work on a set with a bunch of kids during a pandemic, everyone's separated. So they yell cut and I'm like, bye. And no one has to be around. And I can actually like have some, and also it, like we have these like, I called them coffins, but they're basically these like individual personalized like tents that you were like meant to like zip up so you could take your mask off. And so, you know, sometimes it's like, you just zip it up and just, I'd be like, Alicia, are you in there? I'm like, no. His mom's like, leave her alone.
That is absolutely awesome. Anything else you want to see in season 3 of Raising Dion, if we get one?
I know, it's like wishful thinking, right? I don't want to like put the cart before the horse, but like, I know it's crazy to say, but like, so if we jump 2 years ahead, we're putting like Dion in like a middle school setting. And the story becomes so much less about Nicole. And I feel like so much more about Dion, that I know it's almost insane to say, but it's like, I know the story's about raising Dion, but I think like so much of the foundation has been laid. And when you start to become autonomous, like this sort of like preteen, I don't know like how to actually like weave in Nicole so closely to her son, because I think like that's such a specific age. Now you're getting into Stranger Things age territory, yeah, where like the parents are there, but they're not necessarily like drivers of the story. So to be completely
Because that was my biggest thing with Stranger Things, was like, where are your parental units? Like, where are they?
Exactly. And they're out there doing the most, and no one is out there keeping an eye on them. So it's like, I think a season 3 would actually create like a really, like maybe something we've never seen before, because it's like such that prime age where when you're watching TV shows, these kids really are just existing without their parents. And it's like, well, how do you weave Nicole and Dion's story together intimately so that you actually feel like this is still a duo, this is still a team, even though he is growing at an age. So honestly, if I'm not being like, if it's not crazy to say, like, I want to see some major conflict, because I feel like middle school is usually when you start to have a lot of that like adverse feelings about your parents. And like, I want to see like their core struggle. Mm-hmm. And I think like recognizing like that maybe you don't have the capacity to like, I don't know. I think there's just something there. Like, what happens if the central like relationship becomes fractured in some way?
Absolutely. But this would all be rectified if she gets powers, because then there's another story.
Yes. Well, yeah, I can only hope and dream, but first things first, we need a, you know, that renewal. But if not, like, I'm more than happy to leave the show as it is, because I think it's made such an incredible impact on our community, on these children. And it's just like something in the zeitgeist that wasn't there before. And if we get another season, naturally, I'm so enthusiastic to expand the storyline. But like, I've just been doing this long enough to know that like, you kind of have to take each one as its own thing and appreciate it and love it. And like, you can't hope until, you know, you get the opportunity to hope. So
absolutely. Thank you so much for talking to me. I can't wait for my niece to watch this show. And there's so many kids and families that I think this is really good for. Like you said, this kind of representation isn't seen. And I had a ball. So hopefully we will see you, and hopefully I get to talk to you about your superpowers next season.
I appreciate that.
still convinced that if Raising Dion gets to season 3, that Alicia should get powers. Thank you so much for listening. Both seasons 1 and 2 of Raising Dion are on Netflix right now. And like I said, it's a great show to watch with your family this weekend. Also, don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast and check out If I Go Missing, The Witches Did It, narrated by Gabourey Sidibe on Realm. And pre-order my book, Marvel's Protectors of Wakanda, today. Also, check out The Blurred Girl Live on Tuesday evenings on Twitch at 8 p.m. Eastern, where I interview a lot of these amazing podcast guests live, and you get to witness the uncut versions. See you next time.